you for this morning. And we thank you that you have given us minds and the ability to hear and understand what you're saying to us. And I pray for understanding in this room this morning. We pray that you would help us appreciate all that you have said to us, all that you have done for us. I pray that you would help us appreciate how much we need to know what you have to say, what you are declaring all day, every day. You are going to declare the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ through our sermon today. You are declaring it in nature today. You are declaring it in the good works that you do in us and through us, and those will happen today. So we surrender our hearts and our minds to you today, and we ask that you would come and that you would speak truth in love and that we would receive it. And everybody said, amen. So you guys, our fall semester theme is broken. We are inviting a season of brokenness, and just so there's no miscommunication or misunderstanding, your brokenness, and you all have some, is welcome here. You don't have to hide here. You don't have to keep things to yourself here. We are here because Jesus has called us to walk through our brokenness together, and so your brokenness is welcome here. We want this to be your safe place, and we're kicking off our sermon series, this theme, with a sermon series called The Gospel, The Good News, According to the 21 Pilots. Now, why are we using these guys to kick off our sermon series? Why are we using their songs to press into this idea of brokenness? Because if you listen to their music, like nearly every single song is about brokenness. Every single song declares that there's brokenness in us, in our world, in the things around us, and that rescue from that brokenness is available all day, every day. Now, there's a lot of people, and I used to be one of them, that are skeptical about the 21 Pilots. Like, they're too intense. Their lyrics are, like, super dark and weird. They don't really look like Christians. They never mention Jesus in their music or their concerts. And so I want to answer that skepticism with an article that I found a while back that addresses the fact that the 21 Pilots are masters of the culture of encounter. Listen to this. If Tyler Joseph and Josh Dunn, the guys that lead the band, believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, which they are quick to profess whenever asked, then why don't they just come out as a Christian band? Why don't they make their belief more explicit in their lyrics? Why don't they do some preaching in between their songs? Moreover, why do they insist on dressing up in skeleton outfits and jumping off of amplifiers and doing backflips off pianos? Because Josh and Tyler are masters of the culture of encounter. They know their audience. They know that young people are lonely and hurting and depressed and confused and searching. Because when people turn to art and music, they're looking for something more. And Josh and Tyler know what it is, or better yet, who it is that people are looking for. But because of our culture's hostility to the gospel, they've got to be cunning in leading their audience toward the answer. If they came right out and said it, they'd lose their audience. Remember, the mission statement of the 21 Pilots is to make people think. They don't want to force the answer on people. They want to lead them to it. They want people to discover the answer for themselves, to have their own personal, communal experience with Jesus Christ. Now, the author of this article says, I got a glimpse of that discovery process at a recent Pilots show at the House of Blues. If you can, try to grasp the significance of a wall-to-wall crowd of millennials standing together and hollering at the top of their lungs, we're broken, we're broken, we are broken people. The first word, you guys, that came out of Jesus' mouth when he began his public ministry was repent. The word repent means to change the way that we think. Change the way that we think about what? about who God is and who he created us to be. And then the mission statement of the 21 pilots is crazy similar to that, to make people think. So with that in mind, you guys check out the first music video that the pilots released from their new album, Trench.
We've been here the whole time. You were asleep. Time to wake up.
You need
Man, that's a good song. I will help you no longer be confused, my little brother. You guys, there's so much going on in all of the 21 Pilots music. And it's difficult to address everything that we just saw and heard in one sermon. I could literally break this up into like three talks. But on Monday morning this past week, I sat down for my normal quiet time over at Starbucks, and I asked God for wisdom, knowing that we were going to be talking about this. And he led me to a scripture in my Bible. I just opened it, and there it was, Acts chapter 26. And it's the story of the Apostle Paul when he's on trial, and he's defending his faith, and he's talking about, this is how I got started in my faith. I heard a voice from heaven, and this is what it said. So, if you guys have note cards, which you should all have, and some pens, you can take some notes as we talk. But here's Paul on trial. This is the scripture God led me to when I said, give me wisdom to talk about what this song's really saying. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Paul, said Jesus, I want you to go to the outsiders, and I want you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. You guys, the reality of the spirit world is all around us every day. And it's present in the song. You heard him say, spirits in my room, friend or foe. I felt it in my youth, and I feel it when I'm old. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you are alive and if you've been walking around on this planet, you know there's more going on here than meets the eye. And if you want to see it, you need to open your eyes. So what will we see if our eyes are opened? Well, we'll see that we are living in darkness and that we need desperately to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. So what is this darkness that we're talking about? Well, it can be referred to as a lot of things, but man, I would simply say it's our brokenness. It's the things that we hide in the dark. It's our pain, it's our suffering, it's our slavery to sin. It's whenever fear and shame and hate rule your life. Think about that thing you wrestle with, that thing that you can hardly ever, if ever, say no to, that always results in you feeling shame, fear, and hate. That's darkness. That's the power of Satan. And if that thing is ruling your life, then you know there's darkness out there. So what's the light? Well, it's wholeness. It's healing. It's Jesus. It's freedom from sin. It's whenever peace and joy and love rule your life and your decisions. Okay, darkness, light, Satan, God. So how do we turn? Well, we turn by repenting. We turn by obeying the first word out of Jesus' mouth. We repent by changing the way that we think about the world around us, about the Bible, about the fact that we are spirits living in bodies, right? These bodies are temporary, but our spirits are the things that last forever. Change the way that we think about the fact that we are not down here alone, that Satan is real, and that God is real. So, does this song address, reinforce any of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys, from the moment that you and I were born, we are all facing an enemy. We're all facing an enemy. Here's a picture from the video, who uses fear, blame, hate, discrimination, consequences of our bad decisions. He uses those things to stain our souls. Next slide. When he is touching Tyler's throat with those black marks, he's staining him. And when fear rules my decisions, when shame is all I can think about, when hurt and hate are my just constant frustrated responses that I have no control over, it's like I'm operating out of a place of like dirtiness, of being stained. I can't not respond in those ways. And when we're stained like that, it makes us believe that we're garbage. Has anybody ever felt like garbage before? I have. It makes us think that everybody around us is against us and our enemy. Have you ever been walking around and just thinking that that person's against me? I hate this one over here. I'll never forget that one over there. That's what that stain makes us feel and think. It makes us feel that life is not worth living. Has anybody ever felt like that? Because I have felt like that. It makes us feel like, man, I just don't even matter. I could just walk into the woods and disappear and nobody would really care. That's what that stain makes us feel. That's the result of living in an environment ruled by fear and shame and hate and discrimination, etc. But, if we stop and we look around, we'll see some stuff. So here's Tyler down there on the bottom right, and there's Nico, the devil, whatever, and there's this guy throwing these yellow flower petals. What does that represent? It's the prayers of the saints raining down. If we stop and we just look around and stop acknowledging that, oh, we're not living in a spiritual, we absolutely are. If we stop and recognize that, we will see that there's somebody praying for us all the time. There's somebody fighting for us all the time, because the truth is every single one of us matters. Every single one of us, a child of God who he's never forgotten about, who he's never looked away from in shame. Every single one of us matters. And there are people in this building that are praying for you. God himself is praying for you. And all we need to do is choose to leave the darkness, to run from evil, to escape sin and death. And it's totally possible. It's absolutely something you can and should do. And you should run like him. Look at that face. He is booking it out of there. The Bible says, run from temptation. Run from sin. Don't just, I'll see you later, buddy. Like, go. So if we are running from sin, from darkness, from Satan, what are we running to? Well, the answer is right there in the song, clear as day. If you need anyone, I'll stop my plans, but you'll have to tie me down and then break both my hands. Who is that describing? Jesus Christ, who was tied to that cross and nails were driven through his hands, and it says that he had to be broken for our sins. That is the gospel according to anyone, but certainly to the 21 Pilots. The gospel is this: we need someone to save us, and that someone was tied down for our sins. That someone was broken for our brokenness. That someone is and always will be Jesus Christ, the man who was crucified for you and me. So how do we get Jesus to help us once we make that decision and we run from sin? Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10 says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. I'm going to read that again because it's crystal clear. And so many of us think it's just one, but it's both. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring that belief that in your faith that you are saved. If you want to be set free from sin, if you want to escape the schemes of the devil, you need to believe and declare that Jesus is your Savior, that you need a Savior. And the best way, the Bible says, to believe and declare in one sitting is to be baptized. To say, I believe what you are saying. I believe, Jesus, you are who you say you are. I will be baptized and declare to anyone and everyone witnessing it that I believe and I declare that you are my Lord and Savior. We need to make up our minds, like with an iron will, to turn from darkness to light, to turn from the power of Satan to God, to receive forgiveness for our sins, and then we're given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in Jesus. What does it mean to have faith? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 1 is the best example I know of defining what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things that you have hoped for, like rescue. The absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. So, who here believes that the earth is round? Anybody? Okay, most of you. Some of you, no, not so much. That's all right. But most of us believe that the earth is round. Now, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever walked around it to know that it's round? Or did you just hear about it? Did science just say so? I mean, we know it's round, but we haven't proved it to ourselves. Who here believes that the sun is hot, right? I do. Super hot. Now, raise your hand if you've ever been to the sun. Really? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You'd just be ash, less than that. I've never been to the sun, but I believe that it's hot, right? Who here believes that there are galaxies beyond the Milky Way? I do, for sure. I've looked through a telescope, but now raise your hand. Who's been to space, right? Nobody. Nobody. I'm putting my hand down. Nobody. No, sir. I forgive you. Lies. No, none of us have been to space. If you have a ticket, call me. I would love to check it out. And yet still, you ain't going that far. You guys, we all believe the earth is round. We believe the sun is hot. We believe there's galaxies beyond ours. But we've never seen it for ourselves in the flesh. We've never walked the whole earth, been to the sun, explored the deepest reaches in like, you know, some Tesla car. Why do we believe these realities that we've never seen? Because we've been assured of them by people that we trust. The same process works for faith. I am your pastor, and I am assuring you, and the Bible is assuring you, and the 21 Pilots are assuring you that sin is real, Satan is real, and Jesus is real. Acts chapter 2, 37 through 38. After hearing the truth about who God was, the people asked the disciples, "Brothers, how can we be saved?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this is a whole other thing. Not just known as God people, not just receiving forgiveness, but we also receive this gift, it says, of the Holy Spirit. When we believe and declare that Jesus is real, that he's authentic, that he's legit, we receive salvation, we receive forgiveness, and we receive the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians 1:13 says, "When you heard the word of truth," which you are hearing right now, "the gospel," the good news of your salvation, "and when you believed in Jesus Christ, he identified you as his own by sealing you with the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." Is that in the song? Oh, you bet it is. "I cannot believe how much I hate myself, the world around me, because fear and hate and garbage is ruling my... I can't believe how much hate is out there and in me." He's recognizing that there's a spiritual reality. "Pressures of a new place, they roll my way." We know pressure. And what's his answer? "Jumpsuit, jumpsuit, cover me." Tyler asked for rescue, and the way he did so was saying, "Jumpsuit, cover me." You guys, I was sitting in Starbucks on Tuesday, On Monday, I got these scriptures. On Tuesday, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, there's way more to this first song with this very curious song titled Jumpsuit than meets the eye. Man, I wish I knew somebody who was, like, in the military who could speak to this, who had worn jumpsuits, who knew what all that they accomplish and provide for the wearer. And as I'm sitting there in Starbucks having my coffee, there's this man that sits next to me on a regular basis. And his name is Mike. And we've only had like 5 words between us. He's just a quiet dude, and I'm writing in my Bible. And out of nowhere on Tuesday, Mike just opens up and starts sharing his story. I'm literally writing, and he's like, hey, Justin, and words. And what did Mike say to me? He starts telling me his story, that he's ex-military, that he worked at a safety school, and what do you think Mike did at his job in the military? What did he test? Jumpsuits. What? That's crazy. What are the odds? What are the odds? Here's what I learned about jumpsuits from Mr. Mike. What is a jumpsuit? Look at these guys wearing their jumpsuits. What is a jumpsuit? It is a one-piece garment. It covers the whole body. It provides camouflage. Who wears a jumpsuit? People at war. People who are behind enemy lines. Why do they wear jumpsuits? Because it protects them from extreme temperatures, from pressure, from injuries, and from fire. When do they wear their jumpsuit? Man, if you're behind enemy lines, you never take it off. You wear it all the time. The Holy Spirit that God promises when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior is the jumpsuit of our faith, because we are at war and we are in the trenches all day, every day, and the Holy Spirit seals us and covers us and protects us. When Tyler is screaming desperately, jumpsuit, cover me, what he is really saying is, Jesus, I am broken, save me. Holy Spirit, come and seal me. When we believe and declare that Jesus is Lord, that he was crucified for my sins and yours, we turn from darkness to light. We turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. We receive forgiveness for our sins. We're given a place among God's people, and we receive the Holy Spirit. And he helps us do supernatural stuff, incredible stuff, amazing stuff, things that this world can't explain. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was sitting over at the Cheesecake Factory, just having a tough day, and I needed to encourage myself, and so I just prayed, and I was like, Holy Spirit, what have you helped me do in my life that I could not have done without you? And as I list some of these examples, maybe you'll recognize that you've struggled with some of these things too. Because I have the Holy Spirit and I can pray in the moment whenever I want with confidence, I can forgive people completely who have hurt me. Do you have people that have hurt you? How's your forgiveness toward them? Is it complete? Is it total? Can you look at those people and feel no shame, no more hurt, no more pain? Have you forgiven them? Because apart from the Holy Spirit, how? How can you do that? But you can with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can look at people who have hurt me and I can forgive them and know it's done. We're good. I can refuse to complain. I cannot refuse. I cannot stop complaint coming out of my mouth on my own power. Because I just focus on the negative a lot. It's something I struggle with a lot. You'll hear me talk about it in my sermons a lot, because it is a thorn in my side, complaint. But when I pray and say, Jesus, help me not complain, I immediately fill up with things that I'm grateful for, things that I'm thankful for. And instead of complaining, I start talking about the good things. My flesh wants to complain today that my wife has been bedridden for 2 weeks as a result of being pregnant. And the house, all the work in the house has fallen to me, and my kids are getting restless, and she's getting sad, and I want to complain about that. But when I ask Jesus for his perspective, when I say, Holy Spirit, help me, I start to think, my wife is pregnant with a son that I get to meet in just a couple months. My children, they might ask a lot of questions, but they're curious, and I love it. And they come to me to find out answers. You guys, I have so much to be grateful in these things that easily could be things I complain about. Because of the Holy Spirit, I can have the right mindset and perspective. Because of the Holy Spirit, I can escape that 3 a.m. depression that hits us from time. You ever woken up in the middle of the night or not been able to fall asleep and your mind just goes and you're complaining and you're having thoughts against yourself and everybody else that are just so gross and perverted and hurtful and painful? With the power of the Holy Spirit, when those things hit me and I realize, oh, I'm getting hit, I can pray in the moment and those things will go and I will fall back asleep peacefully and not wake up in a horrible mood. Because of the Holy Spirit, I am able to love other people more than I love myself. And man, if that doesn't take something miraculous, I don't know what does. How are you doing with loving other people more than you love yourself? It is hard. And yet with the Holy Spirit, it's easy. It's good. It's fruitful. It's a joy. Because of the Holy Spirit, I was able to say no to my alcoholism. And I tried to quit drinking, you guys, for years. And I failed every day. I would wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to ever drink again. I'm not drinking today. And I would just be walking through my day, and I'd be telling myself that over and over on Justin's strength. I will not give in to my addiction today. And at 5 o'clock, I'd be like on autopilot, just walking into a store and buying beer and drinking it. I had no power. I had no strength. And the day that I asked Jesus, help me stop drinking, he did. And I've been good ever since. The Holy Spirit protects us. He encourages us. He prays for us. He prays with us. He is a power source that you have available for every struggle, every hope that you just need to tap into by believing and declaring, I belong to Jesus. So, this is a short sermon today. I'm going to invite the band to come up. This might be the shortest sermon I've ever given. That's amazing. As they come up, let's summarize what we heard. The mission of the 21 pilots is to just make people think. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about what you've seen and heard today. I want you guys to think about the power that has been afforded to you, that has been offered to you, that you can receive today just by believing and declaring that you believe. I want you to just think about the fact that I don't need to be ashamed of my brokenness. I don't need to hide that thing I'm wrestling with. I want you to think, the longer that I hide it, man, it's like I'm giving it more power. It's like I'm doing more to contain it and control it, and you know you can't. I want you to think about the fact that there is power in admitting that you're broken, that you take power back from the enemy when you own the fact, I made a mistake. I want to show you guys one last slide, and these are lyrics from the song. Lord. It's that last slide. It'll come up in a second. It's that closing lyric, and it's the one, I think, that we didn't address in the song. I really wish it was appearing right now, but it's not. Tyler is like having a conversation with Jesus. It sounds like it's all him, but it's not. It's a two-way talk. Tyler is saying, if you need anyone, I'll be right there. But you'll have to grab me by the throat and lift me in the air. That's actually a reference to one of their other songs, which is Tearing My Heart. What Tyler is saying when he's declaring, if you want me, you're going to have to come and grab me and hurt me, he's saying brokenness is required. The next part of that stanza, I believe, is Jesus responding to him, where he says, if you need anyone, I'll stop my plans. But you'll have to tie me down and then break my hands. Tyler's declaring to Jesus, if you want all of me, my heart needs to be broken. And Jesus is declaring in response to Tyler, you've got all of me because I was broken. for you. Brokenness is required when it comes to our faith. And I want you guys to own this year, own this semester, that you're broken. Take back what Satan has been robbing and stealing and killing from you, for you, in you. And just admit, I need a Savior. I need rescue. There's stuff going on down here that I can't control. And you will find that that forgiveness that comes immediately feels so sweet. That that belonging, that sense of I'm part of something bigger than myself is so profound. And that the power of the Holy Spirit who will fill you immediately will enable you to do so much more than you thought possible. I want you guys to bow your heads and we're going to pray. And I'm going to describe a couple of different options on how you can respond to what you've heard. Jesus, we thank you that you never ask us to do anything that you yourself didn't do first. You are calling us to a season of brokenness, and you allowed yourself to be broken. You are calling us to a season of prayer, and you prayed. You are calling us to a season of changing the world, of welcoming revival, and you did all of those things as well. The amazing part, the thing I can't even begin to get my mind around, is that before you left this planet, you said, my disciples will do more than I ever did. Lord, that includes us. We will do more than even you did on this earth. We pray in your name, by the power of your Spirit, help us understand what that looks like. Help us understand how to walk in that. I pray that you would release the potential in this room. I pray that your kingdom come in this room. Lord, there's one thing standing in our way. Faith. Help us believe. Help us declare our belief. Help us declare, I'm broken, and then break that brokenness for us. We need it. We're desperate for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys, the most important part of any sermon is responding to what you've heard. You can respond today by bringing an offering. Just letting God know, man, you're more important to me than this paper in my pocket. You can respond today by taking communion and just saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross so that I could be free, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could receive the Holy Spirit. You can respond today by choosing to confess your faith in Jesus. If you have never believed and declared, I would encourage you to pray for God to help you do that. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to our prayer partners who are going to be in the back of the room who would love to pray for you today before you leave and just say, I've never really believed. I want to, and we will pray you right into the kingdom this morning. And if you have never been baptized, the symbolic way of being sealed head to foot, covered in the Holy Spirit, I'd be honored to baptize you today, tomorrow, next Sunday, if you need to talk to your folks. But if you've never taken that step of public declaration, I believe in Jesus and I belong to him, man, now's the time.